This is a spiritual reading being given for Bodhi Max on Saturday, the 4th of October 2025, in Victoria, Australia, by John Rawson. We stand within the hall of memory, and the Book of the Soul is given into our hands. And Bodhi, the Hall of Memory is, so to speak, the archive where records of the lives of every soul is kept, not in a physical sense, but it's a spiritual sense. So one has to approach it from a spiritual level. And the Book of the Soul, which is given to me, is a record of your lives, your past incarnations, and so contains lots of stories about things that you did, people that you met, gifts that you received, and many other lives. And that many of those gifts and meetings with people, associations, they come together in this life and create this incarnation. Now, the Book of the Soul has, as I have it, it's closed. It's a large book. It's got beautiful colours on the cover. Very difficult to describe, but they're very light yellows, pastel lilacs, blues, that's actually quite a colourful colour. And the fact that these colours are very fine, very light, indicates two things. First of all, you're at a stage in your life where all the energies and the gifts of the soul are just gradually making their way into your life and into your consciousness, into your thinking and understanding of who you are. And one of the things that happens at this particular stage of your life is that when the colours come towards you or around you, they are often associated with memories from previous lives. And over this year, and perhaps into the next year, you will be especially receptive to some of these memories. And I think it's good that you've got guidance in your parents, who have an understanding of the spiritual levels of a person, because they'll be able to help you understand some of these images or dreams that, or ideas perhaps, that just flow into you. The second aspect, there's another thing I should say about these very light colours, and that is it indicates a person who has had many lives for a spiritual purpose. The lighter the colour is, the more the individual has lived from spiritual levels, and we will see some of those as we progress through the reading. The second aspect of the book, as I hold it and perceive it, is that it has an image, a picture, on the inside, sort of like it's inside a circle, and it's placed at the centre, on top of all those lovely colours that are flowing in towards it. And it's a very interesting image. It's a picture of a person sitting in the lotus position, like a Buddha. But they're not sitting on a lotus, they're sitting on a boat, a little wooden boat that is slowly moving across a wide bay. Now, the image at the centre indicates that the purpose of your soul, from the time it first came into incarnation, many hundreds of thousands of years ago, was to assist others return, if I can put it that way, return to a spiritual consciousness. And at the beginning of our time as beings on this earth, we first of all, or souls first of all, thought it would be a great fun to come out of the spiritual worlds and play around with the physical bodies, mainly of the animals in those days. And it was so much fun that souls found themselves, after a while, that they'd got caught up in those physical bodies. And firstly, could no longer return to the spiritual worlds, which are the worlds of light, and the worlds of grace and the worlds of love, but they could no longer return there. And then, after more time, more thousands and thousands of years had passed, the souls, when they came into these physical bodies, they forgot where they came from, and there were many spiritual streams that came into existence to remind souls that they were not creatures of an earthly physical existence, but they were children of the spiritual worlds. And at that time, also certain souls descended or were sent from the spiritual worlds with the purpose and the mission to help other souls awaken to the memory of what their experience had been when they were spiritual beings. And that's what the symbol of the Buddha, or the symbol of the person meditating in the lotus position is. And we will find that this energy, which is a very Buddhistic energy, by the way, will manifest itself, no doubt, in a number of your previous incarnations, which are relevant to this one. There are interesting questions that you have asked. I hope your dad's ready to hear some of the answers to your previous relationship with him. Just remember when I come to that it's previous relationships, and it's not the relationship that you have in this incarnation, but we'll come to that. The third and final characteristic of the book is that it has a name across it. It looks to me like it's in the beautiful gold lettering in it. The name is the revealer. And that was the purpose of why you first came into incarnation. It was to reveal to other souls the inner understanding, the inner meaning of life. The inner meaning of life is always, we're not earthly beings on a spiritual journey. Well, actually, most of us aren't even on a spiritual journey. We're earthly beings on an earthly journey. No, we're not earthly beings trying to get on a spiritual journey. We're spiritual beings on an earthly journey, so that this world, which seems so real and so strong and so everlasting, is just an experience that we descend into for a time, so that we might, first of all, learn lessons that will help our own soul evolve and mature. And secondly, after you reach a certain point in your growth as a soul, secondly, it's to assist others in their evolution. And once we put our feet on the spiritual path, it's less about us and what we can do for ourselves, and more about how we can assist and empower others. Well, we're going to open the soul book. And it opens to, if you can imagine this book sort of opening in the middle, opening in the middle. And on the right-hand page, the soul is painting a picture for us. And on the left-hand side, it's got a little message for us. I'm going to try and describe this picture that the soul is painting, but you have to remember that this is, at this point in your life, this is a work in progress. And normally, when someone gets past about the age of 21, they are surrounded by an oval field of colours. And these colours often have layers in them. So there's an inner colour, then there's the next colour, then the colours are associated with different parts of the body. And they're quite clear and they're stable. But it takes about 30 years for that stability to really arise. And at your particular age, there is no aura per se. That is actually a really good thing from your point of view, because it means that your life has not yet been... in a sense, it's your life has not been closed in. When we get older, our life path tends to be more strongly marked out, and it becomes very hard to deviate from that path. It's like walking down a path through a beautiful but sometimes dangerous forest, and you might like to go to either side, but as you get older, there are ropes on either side that show you where the path is and you shouldn't cross that, so most people don't. And when you get older, those ropes, that sort of little rope thing, becomes a physical wall, and some people build the walls up so high that they can never get past the walls, and they just have to walk forward. But you don't have that, you see. You can do, in a sense, you can do anything you like in this incarnation. Your path is completely free. It's as though you're standing you've come through a gate, which is what happens when we come into incarnation. And you are looking out at this beautiful landscape, and there are dark patches there, dark forests perhaps, there are rocky things, rocky outcrops, there are beautiful meadows with rainbows and unicorns and other wonderful things on them. And this is because for you, at this point in time, your life lies open before you. And the way you will live this incarnation will create how open the life, your life remains. That the longer you can maintain, for example, a sense of wonder and a sense of newness about the world, instead of saying, oh, same old, same old, I've been here before, done this before, and getting caught up in situations that seem to repeat, the more you can avoid doing that, the more you can be open to life, the more life is open to you, and the more choices are open to you, the greater field of choice. But having said that, there are certain colours that surround you at the moment, and this is going to be very difficult probably for Melody to create an aura drawing, but we'll give it a go. First of all, there's no what we would call first colour yet. That is the etheric colour that is lying dormant as a very light pink inside the body. Actually, you could sort of use that, Melody. You could put it inside the whole of the physical body is the lightest pink that you've got. And the etheric still has the colour, the native colour of the etheric, which is something like the colour of peach blossoms in spring. It's a very light pink. And it means that you're, this is good, it means that your energies are at this stage not damaged, not blocked, but rather that you have the potential, yes, this pink energy, which represents, by the way, the faculty of imagination, it's going to come out more strongly in the next 7 years. And as it comes out, your imagination can develop. It's great at this point in your life, especially over the next 7 years, to be involved in as much artistic activity as possible. Anything that creates colour, art, doing drawings, paintings, any sort of artwork, any sort of music that you can be involved with, this also assists in the way that this inner colour is going to be able to expand. Anything where you use your imagination, you were a writer in a previous incarnation. At the end of the 19th century, you were a Victorian gentleman, Anthony, I think your name was, and you wrote novels, long, quite long-winded, might I say, novels. And they were about the society and also about the religion, about the Anglican Church, I would think. So that you were very good at writing, and you were very disciplined in that incarnation and being able to write. I don't think that you've come into this incarnation to be a writer, because one rarely repeats the gifts and skills of a previous life. So although you should be able to write, and that's going to be interesting because there are things that are going to, you're going to find certain obstacles that you're going to find over the next year or so that will make it more difficult to communicate. And that probably includes actual physical writing and also communication with, what would I call them? People in your environment who represent order. And that's people like teachers, or can be people like parents for that matter. But when other people try and tell you how to behave and how to think, then you're going to be probably a bit rebellious. Fancy that. I'm sure your father wouldn't recognise that at all. Bodhi rebellious? Bodhi doing it his way? Of course not. But there it is. And that's going to be stimulated in the next two or three years. It's a thing that will take 2 or 3 years to go through. But on the other side of that, if you persist in working on your communication skills, and that means written communication as well, then you're going to reap the reward on the other side, because when you get near the teenage years, then you're going to be able to articulate and communicate much more clearly. And that's going to be important for the next part of your life, which is approximately between about the age of 14 and the age of 21. So that's the inner colour, which is the life force, the life body. Then around that, in a sort of an oval shape, is a sort of a light yellow, it's a bit hard to describe, that fades to cream, so that there's around the nearest the body is the oval starts off as a sort of a cream colour, and then it transitions into a very light yellow. The cream colour is something that you're going to have to work with and work through. It indicates that over the next few years, your environment, your home and your school, your friends, they're going to require some careful management. There are negativities within some of these environments, and you're going to find at times that you have people around you who go to the negative rather than the positive, and yet the yellow on the outside means that you have the ability and the urge, I want to use a word here, I'm not sure if this will mean anything to you, but the imperative to keep looking happy on the outside. So happy on the outside, but you may find at times you're not happy on the inside. And that's a really difficult thing, but it's something, by the way, that we most of us go through as we grow up. We start encountering uncertainties and insecurities about ourselves, and we very often are not able to communicate these to others who might help, who might assist us. But the yellow indicates that your best way forward is actually to communicate and to share how you're feeling and what you're experiencing. And there will be people in your environment who are able to assist in this process. Now, the other colours where is the inner colour, the very light pink, is contained inside the physical body but will gradually come out and push its way out. And when you, if you allow that to happen, then when you move into your adult years, you emerge as a very sensitive, thoughtful, intuitive, and probably artistic individual with a great imagination and ability to tell stories. I mean that in a positive sense, to create stories that other people can enter into. The yellow will gradually, if you work really hard on all your schoolwork and you get into university, that yellow will end up in your head. And it will become a really well-developed intellect, a real thinking person. So that's what we want to have happen. We want to have the artistic side balanced by very strong, very well-developed mind and thinking abilities. Outside that oval that I've described, other colours flow in, and it's a bit hard to describe exactly how this happens, but from the right-hand side, for example, there is something like a shaft of light blue that flows in towards the shoulders and the head. It's quite a broad band, and it's flowing in from, I suppose one could say, from the cosmos, but flows in, and it will enter into a part between the head and the right shoulder. That's a light blue. There is another light blue, but it's slightly darker, that flows in from the left-hand side and flows in from below the body into your legs and right up to your waist. Then there are light reds flowing in from the right hand side below that blue band that I described, and that comes into the aura, or what will be the aura, between that blue and about the just below the waist, and then on the same side from that same direction, but coming from below the body this time, a sort of a yellow brownish colour. Then on the left hand side, there are greens that flow in and light purples. So all these colours are very light, partly because of the work the soul has done in previous lives, but also because this is before the, what we call the astral, the body of desire, enters in. And when that comes in, it will bring with it all sorts of energies that are going to mess up these lovely colours. But that's the way life is. You get to a point and you think, how can I put this? Oh, this is going really well. And then all of a sudden, life springs something at you, throws something at you, and says, oh, you think life's going well? Well, what do you think now? Try and tackle this. And it gives you an obstacle or a challenge or something that pushes you to the next level of understanding and working with who you are. There is, at this point, a symbol of the over-self. And the symbol of the over-self is a message from the soul. The soul is not yet come to incarnation, really. The soul will not take over the life until about the age of 30. So you've got a long time to go before you have to worry about your life purpose and what you should be doing with your life. But the soul sends a message down and says, this is what needs to happen at the moment. And the soul is sort of, as I see it, sitting on a sort of a cloud, and it's letting down something on a long rope, and that something is an anchor, and the anchor ends just above your head, about an inch above your head. And that is the soul's communication, and it says, this is what you need to be doing in the next few years. I'll come back to that in a second, or in a little while. There are other symbols in the aura at this stage. On the left-hand side is a lamb standing. On the right-hand side is a white unicorn. And the symbols in the aura represent different energies, which are gifts, if you like, from previous incarnations. Well, there are other images, etc., there, but I'll talk about them if and as they become relevant later. When we look back at previous lives, and it's like the book is, I'm able to open the book backwards to certain points that the soul permits me to have access to. I can't look at every single life. Soul says, nope, that's not relevant. But the first life I open to, or the first life that comes to me, or second life if you include the life of the writer Anthony, but the first life that the soul wants me to pass on, so to speak, because it answers one of your questions, is a life in the first century at the time of Christ. And you were married there to a rabbi. Rabbi? They didn't have rabbis then, I don't think. Oh, he was a teacher anyway. and he was a member of the Pharisees. No, the Sadducees sect, I'm sorry. And he was very upset in that incarnation because of this travelling preacher, Jesus of Nazareth, who was teaching all sorts of things that this man didn't think should be told, should be passed on. And in that incarnation, you were his wife. So that's your first connection to your father. And very often, when we have a blood relationship in one life, a biological relationship, it's because of a physical relationship in a previous life. So in that incarnation, you were very supportive of your husband, because that's what you had to do as a good Jewish wife. But when he was out, you would just get with your girlfriends, and you'd chat about all the latest news about Jesus and what he'd been doing. And so there was a fair bit of rebellion going on there. Even though on the surface you were perfectly obedient and did the right things and looked after your husband, behind his back you were doing something quite different. And I think that in this incarnation, you don't have to go behind your father's back, in this case. You can be, and the gifts that you bring into this incarnation, which are for the benefit of the evolution of humanity as a whole, he should be nurtured this time by the soul that is incarnated as your father. And in fact, he will be able to open certain doors for you so that you'll have a chance to walk into greater understanding, which will benefit your own purpose and mission as life goes on. Incarnation in the 16th century, you were in a male body in this incarnation, and you were a painter, an artist, living in Italy, a city beginning with M, possibly Moderna. Milan, no, Moderna. And you worked there for the nobles, the nobility, the aristocracy. You painted portraits, and you did decorations as well. Now, by decorations, I mean things like frescoes in palaces, noble palaces. You also knew your father in that incarnation. He was a duke, and you worked under commission for him to paint his portrait. I wonder if that's still in existence. Well, you were had a very interesting relationship in that incarnation with the wife of the Duke, but perhaps that's a story for another time. an incarnation in the 11th century, again in a male body, and as I see you, you are wearing a grey robe with a hood. The hood's over your head, so I can't see you clearly, but I know it's you. And there's a rope around it. And I'm actually there as well, and I'm wearing a very similar robe. And you and I are brother monks in this particular order, and we've come to Rome because the order sent us to Rome to observe the election of the new Pope. And as we're standing on the road watching, there's this huge uproar, there's this huge furore and shouting, and the crowd is dragging a carriage along, and in there is sitting a young man. His name was Hildebrand, I think. And that's the person who became Pope Gregory the VII, who was not even ordained. He was just an official in the Vatican. And the crowd decided that this person would become Pope. And that person I met in this incarnation, his name was Reverend Mario Schoonmaker. And your father knows who this person is. And I was, because my mission from the order was to be more closely connected with the Vatican and to act as an intermediary, a messenger, if you like, between the Vatican and the order. But you, once you'd seen this and had this experience, went back to the order and mainly stayed in a monastic role. By the way, you don't need to be a monk in this incarnation. Hello, an incarnation in India in the 4th century, where you were a sort of a yogi, and you had lots of relationships with beautiful women.
You do that again.
And they were sexual relationships, but they were very innocent, so to speak. And they were your way, your method of communicating something spiritual to all these souls. And you used to walk around India and you would lay your hands upon people, and they would sort of go all glazed and blissed out, I think is the expression, because you had come into that incarnation to express yourself as a spiritual being as completely as you could at that time. Now, that's that particular incarnation, which is, and you'll notice I've noted a number of spiritual incarnations, and there are so many more. There's the bishop in Germany in the 12th century, for example, where you ran a church and gave great sermons. Sometimes used to go a bit long and put people to sleep, but nevertheless, your intention was good. It's probably why you ended up writing long novels as a Victorian writer many hundreds of years later. You had the ability to create lengthwise. But sometimes brevity is better than longevity. That's the wrong word, but never mind. In this incarnation, you should be able to communicate with conciseness and insight. Interesting that in the 18th century you had an incarnation in Japan where you were a Zen Buddhist monk. Lots of these different spiritual paths coming together in this incarnation. Yet another incarnation in Tibet in the 14th century, again as a monk. Well, I think I can say with perfect certainty almost that this is not an incarnation where you will be a monk. This is an incarnation to express the physical body, especially when you're young, through things like sport and action and activity, and through the senses, through art, through becoming part of the environment. It's interesting that I think that in later life you'll be associated with environmental movements, with things like climate change, with movements to do with people's freedoms and liberties. And I can see that you'll be a campaigner. You've got tremendous energy when you feel a cause is right and just. The foundation, incarnation, if you like, that started you off on this path, or opened you up to this path, was about the 5th or 6th century of the Common Era, the Christian era. And here you and I were connected again because we were both disciples of the Buddha. And you were a senior disciple in this incarnation. You took what was called the Bodhisattva vow, which is to say that you would not depart into nirvana, which is the end of all incarnations, but you would reincarnate from life to life as long as there were sentient beings in the world. And there is a connection there too, because in many thousands of years before, when you were in the continent of Atlantis, that you were part of the Sun Temple and you were sealed in the Sun Temple. And again, there's a connection to the being we knew as Reverend Mario Schoonmaker, who was the force for sealing you in that incarnation. And the sealing means that the great clairvoyance that you had, because you were an oracle and you could see into the spiritual worlds, but the sealing meant that those abilities were sealed away so that they might develop in time over thousands of years into thinking and reasoning abilities. But now, this period of human evolution, we've done a lot with thinking and reasoning, and it's got us, one might say, into a terrible mess. So what we need more and more is we need the feeling, imaginative empathy and compassion levels to rise up within human beings. Now, if you sat at the foot of the Buddha was the compassionate one. And it's interesting that your name Bodhi, which I'm sure you know, means light, it's the same root as the Pali word Buddha, which also means light as in enlightened. And the Bodhisattva means the light of wisdom, or wisdom as a light. So you have grown within you over the last 2,500 years the quality of wisdom. And wisdom is not intelligence. Wisdom actually embraces intelligence, but it also puts it together with feeling and understanding and the ability to step into the shoes of someone else and know how they feel. The purpose of this incarnation, as I understand it at present, as it's revealed to me, is to be a leader, one of the leaders of evolution going forward. And for this reason, that's going to require a tremendous amount of strength and a tremendous use of the gifts which are given to you. Insight, understanding, certain clairvoyance will come to you as you grow older. And above all, the ability to walk a mile in someone else's shoes, as the saying is. The soul has described something of the purpose of this incarnation in something like a little verse on the left-hand side of the open book. And the title of this verse is The Revealer. And it's in three stages. To find the revelation. That's the first line. So that's what you'll be doing in the first 30 years of your life. You will be seeking, you'll be looking for that revelation. And the second line says to live that revelation. And so that means by the age of 30, 31, 32 or thereabouts, you will understand what it is that you need to do going forward in life. And what you are going to do is to help open people's eyes. You're going to be a revealer. You're going to withdraw curtains back for people. You're going to show them new ways of looking at the world, new ways of thinking, new ways of interacting with one another, and new ways of interacting with the world. And the world teeters on the verge of falling back into the old, which was a very destructive way of dealing with the world, and being able to launch, to leap into the new. And you are one of those souls who've incarnated in order to lead consciousness, thinking, perception into something new. And the final line says to to give the revelation to others. So it takes quite a while before one becomes a leader in your life, and you have strong leadership qualities, and yet not in a conventional way. You'll always find another way to look at things, another way to do things. You'll always be able to come out with the unexpected, the unanticipated. And when you get a long way away into life, that's when you become the revealer in truth, because people will be looking to you for inspiration, for understanding, and to help reveal to them their purpose, their life path, what they have to do. The symbol of the over-self, the anchor, which is descending towards you. Really simple. An anchor anchors. For the next 7 years or so, it's an anchoring time. You need to know who you can trust in life. You need to know what you can rely on. You need to Work with the learning and the understanding that's placed in front of you. The lamb in the left-hand side indicates your connection with Christ, that in the past you've had a connection with Christ, and that in this incarnation that should be renewed. And the unicorn in the right-hand side, unicorn is a symbol of Christ in Atlantean times and represents purity, and purity of purpose and mission. And it also represents something really lovely, because one of the old stories about the unicorn is that if you could put your hand on its horn, it would grant you a wish. And that means that for the next 7 years, your wishes will have power. Just for the next 7 years. But be careful what you wish for, it might just come to you. So, therefore, wish to be the best that you can possibly be. The best edition, best version of yourself. And if you can walk through some of the clouds that are there in the next 7 years, and always remember that the only way to go is forward, and that there's always a light in any darkness, then that revelation will come to you. And not immediately, perhaps, but it will be yours. And when you start living that revelation in your 30s, between 30 years and 50 years, really, then you can be an inspiration and a beacon to other souls. And finally, you will get the chance to help others discover their own purpose and their own part in moving the whole of humanity forward in evolution. And that would be a wonderful task. So shall it be.